Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. I am Renzi. I'm on the grid, and so is the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Great question about our favorite sports movies. Just going down memory lane about these sports movies, and we got sidetracked talking about a big brawl, which I think we'll get into at time. Like, just not enough time right now because I want to get to more questions. Caddyshack, you know, we talked about. I saw in the theater. Raging Bull, wicked movie.
Oh,
you know,
very good.
Raging Bull, 1980. Caddyshack, 1980. The movie I said, one of my favorites. Victory, 1981. You notice, like, a good era for sports movies and movies in general. You couldn't put out bad stuff in those days.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, North Dallas 40 was 1979.
I like that movie.
Hoosiers, 1986. Like, you know what I mean? You couldn't put out bad movies. Here's a great sports movie. Sort of a good gambling movie crossover, which was White Men Can't Jump. That's a great movie. But nah, it's not a full sports movie, per se. Hoop Dreams was cool. You know, that was, you know, it was interesting, but, you know, not in a sports movie vein as well. Rocky's got to be up there.
For sure.
I got to tell you, Cam, big fan of the Bad News Bears.
Oh, I love the Bad News Bears. That's great comedy right there. That's the thing. That movie actually is underrated. I'll tell you what we should do, though, Gabe. We talked about sports movies. Get all the listeners. Best gambling movie. Because there's a lot of them out there, too. Maybe we can do a gambling movie. I got mine, but I want to save it.
We'll save it. All right, we'll do that on the next show.
Yeah.
Bull Durham, big-time baseball movie.
I like Bull Durham.
Major League was real good.
Excellent. You're right. Like, there's very bad, like, what are bad sports movies? Like, what's one of the worst? Okay, it's easier to say good. What was the worst sports movie you've ever seen?
Sports movie? I don't know. They all suck. That movie, The Draft, with Kevin Costner, sucked pretty hard.
That movie blows. Yes, with Jennifer Garner and him. Hey, the Seahawks are moving up in the draft.
It's so unrealistic. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so dumb. Like,
was horrible. Yeah, that movie could have been better.
You know, one of my favorites, actually. I'm old school, though. The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh is great. It's an old basketball movie. The Fish That Saved with Dr. J, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. Rocky's got to be up there. That's a sports movie.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you, Balboa. What was your favorite Hoosiers, huh?
Kind of something different, right? What's that movie with Tony Danza?
I'm going to go Rocky.
Oh, no.
Go Rocky.
It's the famous Philadelphia garbage man kicker or something like that. Wasn't Tony Danza?
Oh, yeah. One of those stupid ones, yeah.
Tony Danza, he's a garbage man turned Philadelphia Eagles kicker. Another Eagles movie with Wahlberg, too. It's funny how they have these.
Invincible or whatever.
Their MO.
I hate those cheesy movies like that.
Hey, no offense, big man. Ooh, we're the underdog city. Everything's underdog. Rocky. The garbage man kicker, Wahlberg, too small to play. You ever notice that? We just put our case together. Lionel Hudson. the plaintiffs win. It's true. Every Philadelphia thing. It's crazy. It's always, we're the underdogs.
We can go on and on with the movie talk. So Cam says Hoosiers. I say Rocky.
Good call.
We've got Sparks on Twitter. I don't know Sparks, but he asked. 2095 question mark possible.
I like
Sparks. I don't know, too soon to tell.
Exactly.
Self-isolation should be over by 2095. I'm not sure. Will fans be allowed? All right, here's our boy Pete. This is a good one. This is the type of question I would expect Adam Schefter to ask Roger Goodell before Adam Schefter turned heel. Pete's asking me a very tough question as a Bill fan. Tough but fair question. Do you guys think that parades will be allowed by the time February comes around so the Bills can have their Super Bowl parade?
Yeah, I like Pete's style, and yes, I think February we're going to have this thing under control. We're not doctors, Gabe, but if they're already talking, the doctor's saying if everybody follows this and we have no more meatheads and stuff, they're thinking a few more months. So I got to believe, you know, we're still months away from Christmas, February, the end of the season. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I don't know if there'll be fans in NFL games this year.
No, they might have fans just for, I have a feeling, want to hear this one? I'd like to make this bet. Fans for not there. They come back like week eight, like halfway through the season or something like that. They could do that.
You know, or like if the stadium holds 80,000 people, you put 40,000 in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like literally you social distances. Owners aren't going to want to do this, but if you tell them, listen, you get to sell 30,000 tickets or zero tickets. What's your choice? Right. So if you have, let's say a stadium holds 60,000 people,
get 30
and yeah, you get 20, 25, 30 where you say, all right, literally like you sit in a seat and there's four empty seats and then there's someone else. You know what I mean? There'd still be congestion, but basically that's the way you have to sort of get society back. You have to integrate it because you can't just tell everybody one day, everyone go outside, you can go outside. You know what I mean? It's car crashes and people agree. You know what I mean? Everyone's going to run outside, get injured, and end up in the hospital in some other way.
It's not
like you've got to like stunt it. And also, the disease will spread again.
Yes. And here's another thing. Guy comes up to me, oh, well, they should have closed the liquor store. First of all, are you an idiot? The minute they say they're closing liquor or beer stores, there'd be thousands of people killing each other to try to get in there. It's a good move by the government to keep them open. You just keep them coming in intervals. If you were to say they're closed, people would riot and chaos, and there'd be mass destruction. So, like, I don't understand.
Exactly right. If you close, you're right. Like, look, they closed the music store. People love music, but they didn't start smashing the windows of music stores. Yeah. I guarantee you, if you shut down liquor stores now, people in the middle of the night, that'd be the target. In every city, everywhere. And they wouldn't even be able to help themselves. Some drunk guy would say, I can't take it. You know what I mean? They need it. Boom.
Yep.
You know, and it's on. And you're right. You've got to mitigate it. And you know, that's the whole way. All right. So this is a real good question here. And very, very good question. Getting some good ones today. Some fun ones today. Who is this one for us? Who's your guy's favorite NBA player that was undrafted? Favorite undrafted NBA player. And I know it's kind of tough, Cam, so I'll throw a couple out here.
Yeah, give me some guys, and I'll tell you who.
I got my guy, and it's a guy I was critical of, but he helped us win a championship. But, you know, Ben Wallace, remember on the Pistons,
Ben Wallace.
He was undrafted.
Well, you know what? Ben Wallace used to get like 23 boards. Like, he was a monster for rebounds, man, and block shots.
John Starks, another undrafted player.
John Starks didn't go. Oh, he was not drafted? What a mistake by the
You know what surprises me? Who wasn't drafted? Udonis Haslem. He was a really good player with that great Florida team.
I agree. Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah, he was a good college player, too. Bruce Bowen was a really good player.
Good, great
undrafted.
Great
Wesley
defense.
Matthews, Jose Calderon, J.J. Barrera, both. But, you know, that was different. They were European at the time. You know my guy? Fred Van Fleet.
Good Look call.
Fred Van Fleet. Not drafted. Has turned into one of the better point guards. You know, he really is one of the better point guards in the NBA. Since the playoffs into this year, he was always hurt, but he's been on a roll, plays great defense. He's respected. People like Fred Van Fleet was a big reason why the Raptors won last year. People talk about Kawhi Leonard all the time, but Fred Van Fleet was a big part of why the Raptors won.
Yeah, no, I think Fred, and that's the thing. GMs, when you're looking at stuff, we knew Fred Van Fleet was good at Wichita State, right? He has that grinder mentality. Those are the guys you take flyers on. The problem with today, Gabe, is, and there has to be a mix of eye test and analytics. But when they looked at Fred Van Fleet, nope. But what did that team do? That Wichita State team made
went
history.
Went to the Final Four, yeah.
They didn't lose. They were amazing. That's the thing. You got to look at that thing, too. It's very, very, very important, you know, when you're breaking
it
all down.
Well, that's one thing. that's one thing that Masai Ujiri, the Raptor general manager, has been great at, has been identifying the talent. Listen, when they drafted Siakam, I didn't see it. You know, they took him in the second round, Pascal Siakam. Not many teams would be smart enough to get Siakam in the second round. Look at the talent that he's turned out to be. There's quite a few guys. Bo Outlaw was undrafted.
I like Bo Outlaw.
Ish Smith is undrafted. There's quite a few guys. Marquise Daniels. I like Marquise Daniels.
He was good. I do too.
Marquise Daniels was good. I don't really count the European guys because it was a different era then.
Yep.
Who else? Chris Anderson, Mr. Tattoo. He was undrafted.
Dude, you see that guy's story? Like, I'm telling you, Gabe, do you know his whole story about, like, him getting, like, sandbagged from some native Indian chick in Winnipeg and trying to, like, extort
his life? Yeah,
his life. Yeah. They said he was a pedophile and stuff, and he wasn't. Like, I feel so bad for the Burn Man. He got set up. Like, he was dating some hot chick, and then his social media got hacked. Like, it ruined his life. Like, the guy was in tears. I saw a documentary on it. I feel bad for the Bird Man. I wish him well, actually.
Yeah, me too. It did. You're right. I remember that. All kinds of weird accusations that he didn't even do anything. Chucky Atkins. Remember Chucky Atkins?
Chucky Atkins? He's very good. Where did Chucky Atkins go to school? South Florida?
Chucky Atkins.
Where do you at? What school?
Yeah, good call. The Bulls. Yeah, South Florida Bulls.
Really? Wow. That's my memory. That's when I started really getting into gambling. I used to bet on South Florida a lot.
Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. He's not as good as Ben Wallace.
No. You know, 9-season NBA Harvard. I like it. It says accolades, NBA champion. Yeah, with the Toronto Raptors.
Accolades, NBA champion.
Yeah, Rajah Bell. Remember Rajah Bell with the Phoenix Suns? He was one of the guys, man. He used to fight with Kobe all the time.
I like
all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird. At the time, people were like, I don't know, who the hell is Rajah Bell? But Rajah Bell was like, F you, Kobe. Like, yeah. That's how Bell made a name for himself, by going after Kobe all the time. He used to get, people used to be intimidated by Kobe on the court, but Bell wasn't. Like, he wanted to fight him all the time. And off the top of my head, I believe Rajah Bell was a Michigan State Spartan.
Yes. I think he was too.
I'm pretty sure.
Let's take a look. Rajah Bell?
No.
No?
It says Boston.
Hold on. Boston College.
And Florida International.
Did he go to BC and Florida International?
Yeah.
Rajah Bell played for Boston College. He was on that team with that team that went really deep in the Final Four. With Jared Dudley and he went to Boston College. Who's the other guy you're thinking of who went to Michigan State? I don't know. There's a lot of guys out there. I can't believe I guessed Chucky Yak in South Florida and Rajah Bell Boston College. It's funny, Gabe. I don't remember anybody's birthdays, but I remember random players that we bet on, like from years ago, what schools they went to. Stupid.
Parker Wedland asked, if there's no NFL season, how are they going to have a draft after? Well, the drafts continue.
Yeah.
We can't get ahead to a draft in 2021 right now. I can tell you one thing, though, about the NBA draft. The NBA draft has been canceled and pushed back. They're not going forward with it, at least right now. They sent out a thing saying, well, we'll worry about that after.
They could wait, but NFL needs to do this thing now.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
I was thinking about that, Ken. Imagine being an NBA player out of college, and you're like, finally, I'm going to get some money here. And now suddenly you got to wait some more still, again.
And you know what the crazy thing is? Look at all the, like, the fringe players that are, like, Gabe, check your timeline. How many guys are going into the draft? Like, guys are not even projected second rounders. Like, there's a couple, like, prospects. That Stewart kid from Washington had a good year. He declared a couple other guys. Like, there's no guarantees here. Like, a lot of these guys, I'm like, maybe you should go back to school for one more year before you decide on this. I'm not sure, man.
That's the one thing that we are all sort of in this together. You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff that happens in the world that is tragic. And we feel bad for, we empathize, etc. Yet it doesn't affect you. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh yeah, it's crazy what's going on in New York, but I'm not in New York. So The thing is, this sort of affects everybody everywhere.
It does.
From a guy like Tillman Fertitta, who is a 100 millionaire, but really is probably more panicked than you and I are right now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Thinking, oh my God, everything's falling apart, right? To like some kid that's ready to go to the NBA, he's got to wait now.
Yep.
Right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of, like, everyone. No one knows. That's the whole thing. It's not like there's one person out there. Well, that's not true because, you know, evidently the senators that sell $18 million in stock the night before things crash, evidently they do know what's going to happen in the future. But you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody knows. You know, from Roger Goodell's a powerful man. Dana White's a powerful guy. They're not in control of things. As much as they want to be, they're not. And it seems like some people sort of have accepted that you know what, we're not in control. No one knows the future. But that's my whole point. Whether you're a player, whether you're a coach, whether you're a fan, whether you're an owner, whether you sell popcorn, everyone's in it together. Nobody knows, man. When are we going to be back? Nobody knows.
You know what the craziest thing is, Gabe? Think about, like, the sports and what's going on. What team has the most COVID-19 situations? And you wouldn't even, like, put them on, like, the list of 100? Have you seen the Ottawa Senators team with COVID-19? They got half their team out. Like, it's not just one or two guys. They got, like, four more guys tested for it the other day. Are they having benders or, like, what? I don't that's the scary thing. If this is happening and these guys are even self-isolating, they're going down to the local grocery store. Man, you know, hey, man, play for this. Here we go. Like, I don't know what's going on, but they got a lot of guys with COVID-19.
Yeah, and it's hard not to, isn't it, Cam? Dude, I'm in the heart of the beast in this stuff. I was in the Meadowlands walking around. And before, I was like, I was careful, but I was like, whatever. If I get it, I'll be all right. Or whatever happens, happens. Or it's not as, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was sort of, but I got to tell you, like, as each day passes, I get more sort of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's weird because I remember I used to go to the store. I don't need a mask. I don't need this. Now I'm going in, dude. I got my jacket way up over my mouth.
I used to go.
I don't want to breathe anything. I walked into the store the other day. There was construction workers in there. I was freaked out. I'm like, oh my God. Like basically too, there was like, I don't even care. Like, and I'm not insulted. Like I saw someone do it to me today. I was in the elevator. They could have made it, and they stopped.
Yeah, you should.
And I went up on my own, and I wasn't like, oh, what a jerk or anything like that.
Oh, it's good.
But it happened last night. There's a couple that live in my building, and they were kind of drunk. And they were getting in the elevator together, and I stood there. And they're Bills fans, too.
Nice.
And they said, what, you scared to get in the elevator with us? I was like, no. I just got to deal with something here. So I'm thinking, I'm not getting in the elevator.
No,
I don't. In an enclosed spot, like no.
Hey, here's another thing.
Every day, Cam, it's worse. Before, you don't need a mask. Now they're like, oh yeah, you should wear a mask. Before, they're like 6 feet. It doesn't live in the air. Now it's like, oh yeah, it lives in the air for 17 hours and travels 27 feet. Now they're saying you can get it like people talk and they're getting it.
I know.
Like every day they make it worse, like by freaking you out, right? So I guess they're trying to make you stay inside more, but it's working. And I'll tell you, I watched Chris Cuomo last night. He described having it. Not a good time. He said he had a fever of 104 all night.
He looks thinner. He looks thinner.
He actually chipped his tooth. And I like what he said.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Morenci, and I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. As Game Time Decisions continues. All right, let's get to me and Cam's favorite part of the new show, so to speak. Since there's no live chat, we're not taking calls, although we hope to get back to live programming sooner rather than later. Your questions on Twitter are great. The questions have gotten pretty weird over the last couple of days.
You're right. These guys, our listeners, are a very different breed. There's a lot of weird stuff, man. I don't know what these guys do on their spare time.
Yeah. The questions have gotten weirder, but that's what self-isolation will do to people. But we've actually, you know, and it's almost my back, because I said anything goes, but I said, you guys are getting weird this week. And they said, all right. So we got more normal questions now. Some pretty good ones, though. Some interesting ones, actually. And I don't really talk about sports movies because, to be honest, most sports movies kind of suck.
Yeah.
But Jordan Kovacs, very good question. Favorite sports movie of all time? Man, I don't know if I can narrow it down to one, Cam. Do you have like one slam dunk that's your best? You think that's like the best, your favorite? It's not, has to be the best. What's your favorite sports movie?
I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be, if you were to guess my favorite sports movies, I don't think you'd get it, but it's one that I remember from childhood, and I went to watch it, and I thought it was just a wicked film, just in the time. Hoosiers. I think Hoosiers was a great, very underrated sports movie. Like, I think it was just absolutely fabulously done. The uniforms, Hickory, like them, the small school against the big one. I think this new Ben Affleck movie is kind of like Hoosiers 2, but in the modern day era, and it won't do the same. Wow. Trust me, it'll never touch it. That's for sure.
It's funny that you bring up that Ben Affleck movie, because talk about a dude that got screwed over. Dude, the movie, it was coordinated to come out with March Madness.
Exactly.
We're not out of it. They haven't been through what we're through. He's the coach and stuff like that. No March Madness. The movie just, you know what I mean? You know, he's got to re-release it. It's like my band Homicide. We're re-releasing our record because the first one didn't get enough splash. No, we didn't do it properly. Well, you know, the timing wasn't right and everything like that, but... well, listen, you're a golf guy, so, well, you know what? I saw the movie Caddyshack in the theater.
Oh, it's awesome. I love Caddyshack, too. Like, for comedy, I'm just talking about, like, for the broad spectrum. Like, history and real and all the other stuff. I even thought Tin Cup was a good movie with Kevin Costner, where he absolutely freaks out and puts a million in the drink and didn't even care about the money, just wanted to make the shot. Like, there's a lot of good sports movies, Gabe, but Hoosiers is kind of the one that I remember just because I was younger and that movie really inspired me.
You know what movie I've never seen? I've seen it in bits and pieces on TV, but I've never actually sat down and watched it. And I don't know why, because I watched it live. And it wasn't even live in the United States, but it was live in Canada at the time. The Miracle on Ice, 1980.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I liked the story. I was a big Jim Craig fan when I was a kid. But the movie Miracle, pretty intense. Like, I heard Scotty Farrell talking about how that's his favorite sports movie. I remember he was talking about that like a month ago or something. He's a big hockey guy. But, you know, he was talking about how good that movie is. You know, you've got some serious ones. Somebody, you know, I'm just sort of looking here to refresh my mind. Chariots of Fire is a serious one.
Chariots of Fire is a good movie.
I saw that movie in the theater when I was a kid. I was 11 years old. I hated it. I was like, oh, God. I think I saw a Cannonball Run the week before. I like that.
Hey, Cannonball Run. Now, Cannonball Run's a great film, but I'll tell you, no. Remember on SCTV game where they did those parody gags? Chariots of Eggs. And they had them running with like eggs on spoons to like the finish line. They were mocking that movie big time. But there's so many good sports movies.
Movie
it's hard to narrow it down.
Rudy's an okay movie. I chirp it.
You can't put it like the best, though, I don't think.
You know, it was a good movie. And shout out to our boy, you know, Martino, one of the producers here. He's a big soccer guy. I don't know if he knows the movie. I don't know if you know it. It's called Victory.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's old school. It's old school. I think Sylvester Stallone's in it. Pelé was in it. I saw it when I was a kid. Yeah, the movie Victory. Real good. Bennett like Beckham was real big, but that's not really
a sports movie. I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be.
So it's funny. I'm looking at a list of best sports movies in the movie Victory. Based on the Hungarian film Two Half Times in Hell. Stars Michael Caine, Sylvester Stallone, and Brazilian superstar Pelé. See, aren't you sold already?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, Pelé can do it all.
So listen, it's Michael Caine, Sylvester Stallone, and Brazilian superstar Pelé as World War II prisoners of wars who are going to use a match against the Germans as an opportunity to escape.
Everybody
is ready to proceed as planned when the players wonder if they can actually do more good by beating the Nazis than escaping. Like, yeah, crazy movie, man. I saw that when I was a kid. Great, great stuff. 1981.
Where do you rank Slapshot?
Well, we're going to get to that. But I have to say, as long as we're talking about serious movies, one of my favorite movies and best sports movies of all time has to be Ladybugs. With Rodney Dangerfield and Jack A.
And it's actually pretty. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
It had some laughs in it. Like I know. I remember. I'm like Ladybugs, and I watched it one day. I think I smoked one. I'm like, oh, this guy. Rodney Dangerfield's always good for a couple laughs.
Yeah, I told the story. I had my gallbladder taken out. Like in my 20s, all right?
Really? Wow. Yeah,
the doctor told me, too, and it was at McGill University Hospital, which is like a world-renowned hospital.
One of the best.
He said, you're the youngest person I've ever taken a gallbladder out of. I was like 24 or something. And I said, well, was it my diet? He goes, well, it's kind of genetics. My grandmother had a, you know, it's been my family. The most painful thing I've ever had. I thought I was dying. No. It was terrible. I had surgery and everything, so... So it was my first major surgery in my life. Nah, second sort of, but whatever, like kind of first major. I've like cut things and broken things, but yeah, like this is the first time with a mask and the whole nine yards. They cut my stomach. They put little cameras in my stomach and all that. So, when I got out, they told me, listen, you can't laugh and you can't cough.
Oh God.
They said it's going to be incredibly painful.
No offense.
And they said also,
those are things you do a lot.
And they said, yeah, they said it's going to split your stomach stitches open.
Oh.
And it's going to be really bad. Right? So they were like, you can't, they were very adamant about it. They were like, you can't laugh and you can't cough. Somebody picks me up in the car. I'm out of the hospital. Of course, they think they're being nice. Yeah. Big fat one burning. I'm like, oh. I'm treading lightly. All right. So I'll never forget. I went to my mother had this house at the time, like you know, in the mountain. It was nice. It was like a cottage retreat type thing. So I went there, and I'm watching the news, and then after like Jay Leno comes on, and my mother tells me, and you know, I blazed a bunch too. My mother tells me, you can't laugh, right? So she goes, you shouldn't watch, because I was watching the news, it's all serious. Yeah. And she goes, don't watch like David Letterman or Jay Leno or anything like that. She goes, you're not allowed to laugh. And I said, don't worry, these guys won't make me laugh.
Exactly.
I said, they won't make me laugh. So I'm sitting there, Cam, I'm fine. I'm clicking around. I'm watching TV and stuff. The movie Ladybugs comes on.
Amazing.
Yeah, about 5 minutes in, bro. My stomach, just looking at Rodney Dangerfield arguing with Jack Hay. Like, I'm like, I had to stop watching it, man. I was going to kill myself. I was like, yeah, Ladybugs, funny stuff. But yeah, you brought up Slapshot. Like, man, there's a lot of good, right? There's a lot of good movies out there. There really is. The Natural, big, good one.
The Natural is an awesome film, too. It's
I'm not going to lie. I am a fan of Field of Dreams. That's deemed a sports movie.
I know it's hokey, but I liked it, too.
Oh, come on. Yeah. When, like,
it's hokey. Come on. Hey.
Yeah, I like hokey.
Yeah.
Some hokey. It is hokey.
It's very hokey.
You know the part that gets to me in Field of Dreams? Every time, too. Like, I can't watch it. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's gotten to me a few times. It's not when he plays with his father at the end. And there's because a lot of those moments in that movie. But when Burt Lancaster, when the girl falls off the bench and he's standing on the line and he realizes, he goes, oh, you can't go back. Right? He realizes that he goes and he sees him. He's got his dream, man. He's back in time. He's with the White Sox. He got his shot at the big leagues. But if you remember, his dream, he said, I just wanted one at-bat.
Yeah.
He got his at-bat, right? And then when he steps over the line, he steps over and it's like black and white to like, it changes realities there. That gets me every time. Great scene. And then even when he goes at the end, he goes, Alicia's going to get worried anyways. I got to go. He's got a wife. He's been back in time playing baseball. He's like, oh, my wife Alicia's going to be pissed, man. Yeah, great scene. Friday Night Lights is a massive one that I don't know. I don't know the Friday Night Lights phenom. I've seen it, but, you know.
I liked it. It was very real, but it was almost – you ever watch a movie where they try to do it too good? It's like I don't even know how
to – Yeah.
But it was just a little too, like, it was good. It was good. Don't get me wrong. I think there's better out there.
Slapshot. Listen, Slapshot's comedy.
It's awesome.
It is. It's right up there, right? It's a little niche-ish because it's hockey. There's a lot of hockey humor in it, but it's still mainstream enough that, you know, everybody can get it. And I'm not kidding too. And Cam's heard the brawl before. About the movie is basically based off of a brawl and a league and sort of, and you heard it. There's Brackenberry and Bill Butters going out and on, and Butters got sucker punched.
Bill Butters. What a handle. The guy's name is Bill Butters.
All the names, man. We got to play. I got to listen to it again. Just every name is just like, you know, my guy Brackenberry. The best part is there's not on camera, all right? There's no footage of this. Yeah. It's known as the biggest brawl in hockey history.
Oh, big time.
It's not even debatable. Like, you think, oh, no. This is the biggest brawl. They literally fought for, like, 48 minutes type thing. It was, like, nearly an hour.
And the best is, like, the one guy I know, John Garrett's getting murdered. Little Cheech got his ass kicked. Have you met John Garrett in real life, Gabe? He is so small. Like, I'm like, how the hell did you play goal? He's a small guy.
The best part is my uncle got into it. It all started with him. Like, it started with him in the corner with somebody. They dropped the gloves. They started going. And then it just led to a domino effect. But I don't think you guys understand. Like, it was the New England Whalers. They weren't even the Hartford Whalers. They were the New England Whalers before they were the Hartford Whalers against the Minneapolis St. Paul Fighting Saints.
Yes. Awesome. You're right. They had guys in that league, too, that they based characters on. Like, the guy who was with the high stick going to carve your eye out.
Yeah.
The Oglethorpe would be like the goon of that league. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's crazy.
We'll get more into it because I want to get another movie because this story is worth a whole show almost. But it's hilarious. So it starts off with my uncle and a guy fighting. And it's like Brackenberry and Jones going out in the corner. And he's like, oh, no, here comes Butters. And then, like, it just started. I forget who the other guy was with the great name. But he went into remember they went in the penalty box area?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, no, he's upset, and he's into the stand. Like, Buddy climbed in and started, like out of a movie, like, grabbing people by the hair, like, into the boards type thing. Like, hitting with sticks. It was like a war. Like,
I'm saying, if that happened today, guys would be in jail.
Oh, yeah, no. People would have been arrested. Yeah. The cops had to come and get involved.
Yes.
Like, they can't hear
it. Yeah, like, you know, bring a guy's head off a wall or hit him over the head with a piece of lumber.
So the radio call was great. They couldn't have done a better job. So the radio call is great. So it's like, Brackenberry going to the corner. And there's a big war. And then Buddy, the announcer, goes, and there's Brackenberry just standing there. And he goes, and he's the one that started it all. And then a minute later, he's like, oh, here's Brackenberry going out with another guy. Like, Brackenberry literally went, like, around the ice, like, fighting 3-4 different people. But the real chaos was going on at the bench area. Like, guys, it was old school slap shot style. Like, it was just like 20 dudes, like, literally, like, wrestling. And then, like, they would pair up, and then they would gang up, but there were sucker punches. Like, people, it was violent as hell. And the best thing is, the league had no money. It was the WHA. They had no money. So they had to take the same plane back after, Cam.
That's great.
They got on the same plane after this, bro.
That's the best.
And one of the guys said, I guess, like, they were worried there was going to be a fight, like, on the plane. And somebody broke the ice, and they looked at Butters, and they said, you're one ugly son of a bitch, man. And, like, Butters' face was like, I guess everyone just sort of, like, it wasn't like a laugh out loud, but everyone sort of, yeah. And, like, they sat on their own side of the plane, and everyone just got pissed drunk drinking. yeah, whatever. Like, they were fought out. They couldn't fight anymore. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, though, Gabe, even in our day, we played a team. Remember the Toronto Toros? They're the York Toros. The Toros used to be in the league, too. Anyway, it was their team. Like, we had a bench-clearing brawl with these guys, and one of their players took his hockey skate off and threw it at our coach's head and clipped him in the pocket. Like, smashed his, like, back of his glasses and cutting his ear off. Like, and the thing is, the guy, I don't even know if he did, like, juvenile time or whatever. You do that today to somebody, like, you're definitely going to jail. You can't throw a skate at a guy's head. That's,
you know,
nuts.
What was big? That is, I never seen that before.
Yeah.
You know what was big in my league, in our neighbor, in our area, in Montreal, too? It was the new area when they forced you to wear the face mask.
Yeah.
So it was real big. Everybody, Cam, would grab the face mask and start, like, people realize, they're like, dude, it's leading to more neck injuries. It's more dangerous. Right, because everyone grabs it or punches you. Dude, I remember with my blocker, man. I used to punch people right in the face with the blocker. Boom. Yeah. You get a lot of weight behind that blocker, too. Well, it's nice and pointy.
It's hard plastic. And it gets colder. No, it's crazy, man. Like, I remember when we're playing a rec league's game, when we got to be adults, we played in the Budweiser rec league. We never wore shields. And there was way less guys doing dumb stuff. But the minute you...
There.
Yeah,
hang in there. We got another segment coming up. More of your questions. We're going to talk some basketball as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart will return in a couple of moments. But we were talking about what the NBA playoffs potentially could look like in a 7-game setting. Is it going to be a best of 2 or 3 setting? Is there going to be any setting? All right. There's a lot of questions about the NBA. And we've got questions. We'll see if Mike Morkanoff's got answers for us. The Athletic steps up. And then, Mike, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I don't know if anyone has answers right now, though.
But we got speculation, right?
Yeah.
We got opinions. But let's just backtrack a little bit. I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. Think of the NBA season. Zion Williamson's first night in the NBA. I was in Vegas. I wasn't at the game. So when I said I was in Vegas, I wasn't there. I was going to go, but I decided, whatever. I'll see Zion eventually anyway. So didn't go. His first game, earthquake, if you recall, in the NBA Summer League. There was an earthquake that shut down the Summer League that night. Like, the scoreboard started rocking, okay? Subsequently, a couple of weeks later, whatever, a month later, Daryl Morey decides to upset China, to stand strong with Hong Kong. The sky falls on the NBA. David Stern passes away. Kobe Bryant passes away. Now we've got the biggest pandemic in over 100 years, and everyone's wondering about what's going to happen with the playoffs. I don't know. Is there even going to be a playoffs right now? But I got to tell you, Adam Silver's really he's been very busy this year, Mike. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I was at that game in Vegas. The Knicks were actually playing the Pelicans and Zion in that.
That's right.
League
it was the Knicks. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a crazy way to start summer league, and somehow we've only had everything amped up since. Adam Silver has had probably the most difficult year of all the commissioners in the across professional sports. He seems to be handling everything pretty well. I don't know what you do with this type of thing, though. I mean, when a global pandemic comes around and shuts off pretty much all business in the United States right now, except for healthcare businesses, there's nothing you can do but wait and see and make countless contingency plans to see what might be feasible.
And that's exactly right. I mean, we sort of get ahead of ourselves, and this is what we do in the sports business. And also, you know, I can't be negative all the time. I've spent a lot of time talking about the realities of what's going on in the world. I'm in New York as well, so I know it all too well. You know, but people, there's a report every day, they're considering, Jay Williams said the other day, a cruise ship. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea, Jay. I thought this guy went to Duke, like a cruise ship right now, Mike. Yeah, like everyone's getting on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe Vegas, because they can live at Mandalay Bay and different properties. But it all sounds kind of cute on paper. But in reality, and wouldn't you think, Mike, think if it's only been like 2 weeks, like that we've been in this world, essentially, right? 2.5+ weeks or whatever, going on 3, of, you know, would have been March Madness and NBA. And it went from, no, that's unheard of. We can't play without fans, to tournaments being canceled. And I fear things are just going to get worse. We know that the count and everything is going to get worse with the virus. So by the time that June and July comes around, I don't know if there's going to be an appetite for basketball. It's like Schefter said, we're doing the NFL draft when there's carnage in the streets. It's only going to get worse, right? What about from an optics standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, this isn't like CBA discussions. Can you get both sides to agree on a deal or something like that? And there's a lockout or there's a strike. This is a real world problem, right? Like, this is a healthcare problem. This is a resources issue. And maybe at some point people won't want to see basketball. I think Adam Silver, when he had that interview on ESPN, I think it was, I don't know, a week ago, 3 months ago, whatever it is now. Every day feels like a month. Like, you know, he said, we want to put on a charity tournament, get people to watch basketball again. He thinks people want that. I don't really know what people want, you know, but you can't play basketball. Whether you can play basketball is not really an Adam Silver NBA decision. It's a healthcare decision. Can you safely get everyone into arenas, make sure there's enough testing, which there isn't right now? You know, can you take all these precautions to ensure that no one else gets sick if you do it? Let alone the idea, like, I think the NFL had this concept of marooning themselves in wherever, you know, in space or whatever to play a 17-game season. How can you say that you're going to take healthcare workers away from dealing with the coronavirus to, you know, to make sure that NFL players are safe? Like, it's a resources issue that can't be figured out right now.
And, you know, it's a good point that you bring up, actually. People don't look at the logistics of it. And I was one of the first people, and people are like, oh, you're an alarmist. And I explained, I said, guys, you don't seem to understand. There won't be sports if the hospitals are overflown. And, you know, you're at a sporting event. I'm just saying to the average sports fan that goes to a game, doesn't really see what goes on behind it. Every sporting event, there's like 50 cops that have to be on call, or 40 cops getting paid overtime because they're there. All the cops are sick now. You know what I mean? And they got bigger priorities. And as you stated, ambulances. What are you going to do? You're going to quarantine everyone, build your own hospital there? Is that your plan too? And when I thought about this, I realized, I was like, all right, if you're a younger guy in the NBA, whatever. You know what I mean? You're going to be a quarantine for 8 weeks or whatever and play in the playoffs. You know, I'm a Raptor fan. I'm thinking a guy like Kyle Lowry, pretty big family guy. If you're a player, dude, you really going to want to leave your family? Oh, sorry, honey. I'm going to go live in a bubble so I can play a bunch of 2 or 3 stupid playoff series this year that really is bastardizing the championship anyways. And I'm going to leave my grandmother behind, and I'm going to be in quarantine somewhere in a bubble. I don't know if that's going to play out with guys.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, anything that they have to do definitely has to get buy-in from the union, right? So guys are going to have to be willing to sacrifice whatever it is they'd have to sacrifice to make this happen. And I don't know, why would a veteran, you know, like LeBron James want to go away for 4, 6, 8 weeks, whatever the length is, to however they decide to do this? So there's just so many questions that are bigger than basketball right now. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's fair to throw them around because I'm sure the NBA is throwing them around too, trying to figure out when they could get back to having a season. But it just might be my personal thought is I just don't know how you can have a season until everything is figured out. Maybe, you know, if you play this season longer, right, is it going to compromise the 2020-21 season as well? And then you've got two seasons that are affected. And I don't know. These are all the hard decisions the NBA has to make right now.
Yeah, that's why they get the big bucks, right? And we just get the we're getting some bucks to talk about it. they're getting the big bucks to make those decisions. So it's really too bad too. Like, man, I love the NBA so much, and I love spring. You know what I mean? Like, people talk about baseball and hope springs eternal. For me, in spring and summer is the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, most of my great sporting memories. You know, NBA playoffs, like, you know, and that's the thing about the NBA. You don't even have to be a fan of a team to have great memories. Like Jordan winning the championship for the first time. I remember where I was in summertime and, you know, just everything. And this year, we had some really, really cool playoff matchups on tap. We just went through it on the show a little bit. What were you thinking? You know, everyone was like Milwaukee, the Clippers, the Lakers, etc. Were you on board, or were you thinking outside the box a little bit? What teams were you looking at, looking forward to playing in the playoffs if everything didn't stop?
I mean, look, I was curious to see how the Sixers were playing the playoffs. I know they haven't been that good in the regular season, but I just thought they had an interesting roster that could cause problems. The Celtics really seem to be gelling. The Raptors are just to have this great system and this great team that seemed like they would be hard out in the playoffs. I really want to see a Clippers-Lakers series, you know, probably Western Conference Finals or something like that. I thought those could be really fun in seven games, and that would have been, you know, an amazing way to spend May. That's the thing I think I was looking forward to the most.
Yeah, and it's amazing, isn't it? Will it ever happen? It's one of those.
Yeah.
I had somebody tell me Tom Brady will never play a game for the Buccaneers. There'll be no football. He's never going to play a game for them. I'm like, wow, getting pretty bold. So listen, everything has sort of been, it's still fresh with everything. We're seeing in the real world, unfortunately, people are starting to get laid off more and more right now. The NBA, they're in a weird spot, aren't they, with the contracts? They've never been in a position like this. Because I know a couple owners are like, so what, we're going to pay the players? Basically now, they're not playing, but the players aren't not playing because they're not refusing to play, etc. We really are in uncharted territory in a lot of waters, aren't we? Right now, we were talking about it earlier in the week too. Tillman Fertitta, the Houston Rockets owner, guy owns a basketball team shut down. He owns casinos closed, and he owns restaurant businesses closed. And already there's word that there's a little bit of concern here. It'll be interesting to see what the world looks like when we come out of this.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I think ESPN's been reporting a lot about how payments are coming. The NBA players were paid April 1st. I guess the next paycheck day is April 15th, and they have a, you know, force majeure clause, and that can allow the NBA to not pay them immediately. We're going to find out in a very perverse way, I guess, about the liquidity of some of the owners, right? You mentioned Tillman Fertitta, who's got all his money coming from businesses that aren't working right now. And in New York, you know, MSG, it's closed, right? There's no gatherings, there's no concerts, there's no games, there's no anything. There's no revenue coming in for MSG either, and that's happening around the country. And the league's going to have to figure out how much do you pay players, when do you pay players. You know, you see this in other leagues too. You see stuff in European soccer where players are trying to figure out how much of their paycheck do they give back. And I'm sure the same question is being asked right now by the NBA and then baseball too. You know, the season was supposed to start, I think, last week or whenever it was. So this is a universal question that we're looking at through sports, but every business is doing that right now. And, you know, like, how can people afford whenever we start out to have a season again to buy tickets if we have these, you know, record levels of unemployment? And that's probably something else all these leagues are weighing too, is, you know, where's the discretionary income come from just to buy tickets?
That's a very good point. You know what? And I'm getting ambushed with ads right now for NBA gear. So they know where I'm going. And I swear, Mike, the other day, I was like, whatever. We're in the middle of a pandemic here and you're pimping me Raptors hoodies. But I'm like, I'll click, right? So I click. I was like, it's like 10% off. I was like, come on. You know what I mean? And then the other day, it was 20% off. I was like, And then I swear, I mean, word of no lie, boom, popping up, 25% off. I think they might be getting the 50% off. Because as you stated, people don't have it. But I can't imagine there's going to be fans anytime soon in sporting events. But let me ask you about from a Knicks perspective. I am a big RJ Barrett fan. And, you know, speaking of that first Summer League game, so it was Duke versus Duke, right? The teammates played against each other that Friday night in Las Vegas. What was your take on RJ from where he started, from the beginning of the year, let's say the middle of the year, and, you know, towards the end of the year? Did you see, what were the changes in RJ Barrett from an NBA player, someone to watch him on a nightly basis?
I thought it was interesting. You know, he had a great start where he's shooting the ball well, and that was unsustainable just because his jump shot's not there yet. And by the end of the year, you know, you saw a smarter player. You saw a guy who was figuring out how to play against NBA defenses. You know, he's so good at getting to the rim. He's figuring out angles. He was figuring out where he can kind of push the issue a little bit. And, you know, luckily for him, the Knicks weren't especially put together well to highlight his strengths and his skills at the beginning of the year. And they were, I don't know, they were that way either and by the end of March, but they were in a better place at least. You know, they gave more opportunities to be on the ball, more spacing, and that really helped them. And I think he had an okay rookie year. You saw good stuff from him. You saw spurts why he was taken at number three. And I think altogether, RJ, you know, showed that he could possibly be a really good player, maybe an NBA All-Star one day.
I think I agree with everything you said. I think we're looking at an NBA All-Star down the road. What I liked about him was the aggression. He was a little bit passive earlier. He's a big kid. He's thick, right? And for you know, a lot of times the younger guys, as young as he is, they're not as thick as he is. I like the basketball IQ. Obviously, his father is a lifelong basketball player, and he's been involved with Team Canada basketball forever. So I like the basketball IQ. I like the aggression. And you know what? I think, you know, everything's a blessing in disguise, right? And I'm hoping right now this kid, dude, he's just in a gym taking like 500 jump shots a day. He's taking as many jump shots as our boy Scotty Farrell is. I saw Scotty's posting videos of him shooting ball all day. Because, you know, he's got to work on his shot a bit. And he was in tough. Like you said, it wasn't like they were extenuating his talent. I mean, dude, it was like a weekend of the season. They made him the point guard for a couple of nights, remember?
Yeah, they really need him. They put him in tough situations. You know, there wasn't any spacing for him. There weren't, like, shooters around the perimeter for him to make things easier on. He did play a lot of point guard, like, earlier in the season and later in the season, too.
He is versatile, though, isn't he? In a sense that what I like when I saw him, and, it's one thing on TV, and it's another thing when you're actually at a game and you really just watch the guy. The effort's there. I like, you know, he gets up and down the court. He hustles. What I like about it, too, it's not a fake hustle. He's got the ego hustle, right? He doesn't like losing a one-on-one matchup. I think they got something there moving forward. So let me ask you, though, and I mean to cut you off, but we've got a couple more minutes. No one's really talking about this now. You know, it's funny. People talked about Rick Pitino coming back to New York. No one said Iona. No one said Iona. What about the Knicks moving forward? Do you think they make a splash as far as their head coach is concerned? They got time to think about everything now. Or do they go with the status quo?
I think they'll probably hire someone new. Mike Miller's done a pretty good job as interim coach, but I think they'll probably go with someone, let Leon Rose, a new president, make his own hire. The names you keep hearing are, you know, Tom Thibodeau, Kenny Atkinson, who just got fired by the Nets, you know, like right before the season shut down. I would be surprised if either of those guys gets the job. You know, it's interesting to be the Knicks coach, right? You're playing in New York. It's a big platform. There's a lot of stuff going on at all times that you have to deal with. And because, you know, the president doesn't talk, the owner doesn't really talk, you get to be the team spokesman. So that's another responsibility. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a Tom Thibodeau type, someone like that. And he's going to have to be ready to deal with a team that's not ready to win next year.
What are you buying in? I'm seeing Elton Brand rumors. Are you buying into this stuff?
I don't know. I mean, he's in a good spot with the Sixers. And I saw some reports out of Philly, too, that they don't want to let him go. I think there's just – it would be so hard to make that thing happen. You know, he has to be fired. He has to move on to New York. It's probably a little too convoluted to occur.
It's a big New York thing, isn't it, in which they throw names of guys that already have jobs. Yeah. I'm a Raptor fan. Remember, Masai Ujiri. Yeah, he's leaving the Raptors. You know what I mean? Like, the guy's like – he can run for Prime Minister of Canada, and he's leaving the Raptors right now. I got to tell you, when I saw that – you know, we have a lot of Philly viewers and listeners and et cetera on Twitter and everything else in between. I think they'll say you can take him.
But why would he want to leave, too? That's the question. You know, like he's in a pretty good spot. They have a pretty good team in Philadelphia right now, too. And he'd have to come in and be the number two to Leon Rose.
No, it is. But, you know, never a dull day. So, of course, Mr. Dolan, James Dolan, ends up with coronavirus. We haven't heard much since. But you mentioned the workers and stuff. He gets criticized a lot, but I did see you know, he dropped $3 million down, right, which was more than a lot of organizations did to pay the workers. And, you know, the thing is, though, you don't want anything saying anything bad, or, you know, then people aren't going to say anything good after, too, right? Like, so it sort of flew under the radar. You know, their messaging can be mixed, but it was a nice act to give the $3 million. But Mike, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. We appreciate your time. Stay safe.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. You too.
All right, some NBA basketball talk. It's talking NBA, man. It's really making me miss NBA more than I already was. You have to wonder, though, what the future is hold. No one really knows. You know, these tournaments, this best of two or three stuff seems to be getting out of hand. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.